Our team just won a Shorty Award on, so we're all very excited. And it really goes to the testimony of the value of integrating social media into the communication strategy, into our employees, and how we activate people on site. So a little bit about me. I started on the PR side, whole career in PR communications. I did a lot of crisis management, which translated very nicely into social media. Kind of consider myself as an early adopter on social media. I think kind of the fun facts is that when I went to my first tweet up, everyone thought I was crazy and it was creepy, and yes, it was. But in 2008, now you think of a tweet up and it's just completely different world. On Facebook, I took a while to look this up, but I was the 3,086th person to join from Syracuse University when they launched. So been with the platform pretty much from the beginning. And at Cigna, my job is really unique. I'm probably one of the few people in the company that gets to spend all day on social media and not get in trouble for it. And I do everything from, I work on what we call the Center of Excellence and on social media. And we're responsible for setting the global strategy for the company in the US. Also, I work with 12 markets internationally. And we do everything from strategy to campaigns to tactics to execution, social listening, and measurement. So pretty much anything that falls or anything that comes and has any business need, has a social media need, it comes to our team. And our team is only 4 people. So we do a lot of things, and we don't have a huge budget. So I'm going to give you a lot of tips on how to do things sort of off the ground and grassroots today. First thing when you're thinking about events is the contract negotiation. So hopefully this is not what your negotiations look like when you're starting a sponsorship or working on an event or doing a conference. But social media is often left out. At the company, I review every contract that comes through for an event or conference that we want to sponsor, and social media is only in it about 10% of the time. So just like advertising, print, where your logo is going to be displayed throughout a conference or an event, social media should be also included. So what do you look for? The first thing I look for is the inclusion. If I'm the presenting sponsor, I want to make sure that every time my company is advertised, I am tagged. So when Disney sends out registration for Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend presented by Cigna is now open, that Cigna is always tagged, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Other things I look for is advertising. Do we have, as a sponsor, do we have the ability to advertise to the audience? So am I advertising to the, am I allowed to use your name, your logo, and am I allowed to advertise against that on our brand channels? Some companies are really great about it. Others will set limits or maximums that you can do on social media. Tagging. I mentioned tagging for Cigna, how we incorporate that in our contracts, but also it's what's being shared from other brands for on our behalf. So we have a partnership in Houston with Sunday Streets. It's a nice street festival. They do it 6 times a year. And we negotiated in that contract that every time they mention Cigna, we're tagged. But they also have a content calendar of content that's going out to their audience from their channels that's approved by our team. And we get 3 to 5 posts for every event. So we have the ability to write them, to review them, and approve them before they go out. Co-branded campaigns, this is a big one. So if you're looking to do a sponsorship or work with a foundation or a charity event, you want to do a co-branded campaign, so a contest or a sweeps, and you want to use the logo on your website. This is all part of your negotiated contract, but oftentimes it says, yes, you can use it on my website, but is it applying for social media as well? So when we run for Disney, you'll see in my tactics examples, but we'll run a user-generated campaign every year to get pre-event to generate some interest, and we have our logo right next to Disney's logo. And think about what are the approvals on that. So everything I do that mentions their hashtag, uses their logo, uses their name, or references the event is actually approved by their marketing team. So you'll find some depending on the brand you work with or the event that you're working on, some of them will have more leeway than others. Some just say you can do whatever you want. Some have us get everything approved. And lastly, hashtags. This is the one I've been seeing a lot, and for the presenting sponsor, usually for smaller local market events, we want the Cigna name in the hashtag, so in the event hashtag that's being promoted as part of the event. So hashtag Cigna Sunday Streets, or hashtag #SigdaFunRun. We try and work our brand name in when it's appropriate. I would say for larger events for Disney, we're not going to go in and say, scrap the name you've been, or the hashtag you've been using since, you know, the past 10 years because we're coming in as a sponsor. How we handle that is we still have the hashtag Run Disney, but we created our own hashtag, hashtag #SigdaTogether, that Disney uses as well as any other partners or sponsors throughout race weekend will use to amplify our brand. So we kind of have a dual hashtag going there. Next, before we get started on the tactics, the strategy is so important. And the value of an integrated marketing strategy, if you were here for the last session, we heard from Jeff. This is so true. So when we work on events, I'm not just saying, here's my social piece, and you know, give it a go or give it an approve. We work with our events team. We work with health coaches. We work with our brand team. We work with legal. We work with public relations and communications. We work with internal communications to come up with one integrated plan that's going to work. And we saw this is an example of an event we're doing in 2 weeks in Dallas for El Centro, a new World of Difference Foundation grant. We're giving them $100,000 to help support moms in that area. And we're doing, instead of just a regular old check cutting and you know, the big check and ribbon cutting event, we're actually hosting a baby shower. It's around new moms and supporting them through their pregnancy. And we have an entire communications plan designed from video to someone from our team down there live tweeting in English and in Spanish to hit both of the audiences. And we have someone from public relations pitching it to local media. So the strategy is really combining traditional, what we normally do for TV and print, with the online world. Other things for integrated markets, really important to go in with your metrics. So what do you want out of this, especially on the sponsorship? So when I look at a sponsorship like Disney, which is probably our biggest US sponsorship that we have, I want 3 to 5% share of voice. And we measure that through social listening. So I want Cigna to have 3 to 5% share of voice throughout the entire conversation. I know that going in based on my past experience, but that's something we track and we look at. Also, we track and look at, and this could be part of your negotiation with an event company, is how much the event, so Run Disney, mentions us. So I want them mentioning us more than the other sponsors at the event if I'm the presenting sponsor. So we look at and we track that information. Other things, impressions, depending on what your goals are, really. We set everything towards our goals. So an event usually is brand impressions followed by clicks. And then on site, we look at unique engagements, which I'll talk a little bit about later. And then the last tip is to befriend legal. I work in a highly regulated environment. And we learned very fast and very quickly that it's better to create a great relationship with your legal team beforehand, before you go out on an event, and before you do things. So a great example is we do live on-site video. And for a health insurance company, anything when you use the word live is not great, right? So everyone gets nervous. What are you going to do? What happens if something goes wrong? So we actually do have built a trust with our legal team. And when we film on-site, we have the intros and outros pre-approved before we go there, so that we can still turn our video around on site within 24 hours. It's already approved, they trust us as communicators to get the middle right, and it's good. Just an easy example. So here's what our strategy looks like. I heard a lot of conversation about people at the event saying, well, how do I do stuff? So this is a look at our 2016 for January, our strategy, and we had pretty much 7 buckets of things we wanted to do. We wanted to curate a ton of content, we wanted to secure media coverage, you know, video, we're going to host a blogger meetup on site. We're going to activate our ambassadors and use our employees to really share what's going on and the excitement around race weekend. We're going to activate a social command center. That's a really cool thing we just started doing, is we actually take a room and build whole like 3 or 4 TV screens and put up what's happening in the social sphere. So we use Synthesio and Shareably for our metrics vendors, and we have that data on the screen in real time, so we're able to make better decisions on our content strategy and how we're engaging in real time. And then update our landing page. So ultimately, we want to create brand awareness, but we also want to drive people to the Cigna.com website, whether it's for health articles, tips, and have them stay on our website to explore other areas. And then one of the things that's really important is we break it out by pre-event and on-site. So a lot of the times at events, you're like, okay, what do I got to do on-site? But really, 80% of what we do is pre-event. 80% happens before I even step on, before I even go down to Florida or California and get on that race course. So that's a little bit about what I'm going to focus on today, too. This is just a stat I really like. It shows the difference in channels, where you are and at what point in the event you're looking at. So Facebook, good pre-event and post-event channel. Twitter, on-site. I don't think anyone will argue with that. I would also say that Instagram, we see that Instagram is almost catching up to Twitter on-site. So don't discount Instagram as an on-site tool. It's very powerful, especially if the event lends itself to sharing a lot of photos. Here's another slide I like. I like to point out the 78% of attendees say that they share content while they're on site. So this is interesting. I think at conferences and trade shows, you'll see people live tweeting during presentations. But what we find is at the expo, we're not getting a lot of engagement. People are more likely to take their photos and do and interact with your brand, and then when they get home later or they're on their commute, they're more likely to post. So we actually see a lot of engagement before the event happens, and on site we'll see it either in the mornings or in the evenings because people are too excited to be sharing stuff, unless it's a conference. Then we see it throughout. So 5 tactics to engage your audience. Had to throw in an animated GIF. First, pre-event, and this all is from the Event Marketing Institute, these slides. And we, how is social media used pre-event? So I would say, you know, all this is kind of a no-brainer. Our goal and where I look at is the build engagement among the community. So 46%. My goal, that is my top goal before an event. So while the slides are showing increased awareness, which is great, I want to have that conversation with people so that they don't get, so when they're on site, and if we didn't do the pre-event, they might say, oh, is Cigna a sponsor? I don't know. We'll get lost in the shuffle with all of the other brands there who are maybe more exciting like New Balance or Champion. So we want to get that brand awareness in beforehand, and we do that through engagement, not just brand awareness tactics. So first tip is host a chat. Twitter chats are really popular for us. This is an example we did in January for Disney Marathon. We promoted it. Over there with simple graphics. We spent $1,000 in advertising, that's it. One of the tips that I have if you're going to run a chat is to find a good third-party person to be there. So Cigna and Run Disney co-hosted it, but we had Jeff Galloway as our expert, and he's an Olympian and very well-known in the Run Disney audience. So he was the one answering the questions and leading the chat. Our role in it was to moderate it. One of the things that I should also point out is that the hashtag, so Cigna Run Together. You heard me mention that as our primary running hashtag. So we added chat to the end of it, and you'll see we do that throughout. We add Cigna Run Together contest, and that keeps all of the conversation in one stream, in one hashtag. We also, if you're thinking about doing a chat, we actually script. I don't want to say script it out, but we list out the questions that we have, and we have some of the key points that we want to hit. And we have content ready. So the Run Disney team will have photos of people crossing the finish line and different photos of things that they know that people are going to bring up during the chat. So our chat last January had about 100 people, a little over 100 people. We had 281 unique tweets during that chat, and it was shared over 600 times, so retweeted content, likes, retweets, and the coolest part was we measure the reach, so how far did this go? So we had 6.5 million potential Twitter reach. So what that tells me is the people who were in this chat had very high followings and they're influencers of this Run Disney community. So that means that our brand was prominent in front of these influencers, and that's part of the goal of the chat. In 1 hour, 6.5 million brand impressions. Pretty powerful. The next is host a contest or sweepstakes. This is not a Disney example, but it's an example I like to share. We did it primarily in 2014 around, we had a whole bunch of slew of events happening from New York to New Hampshire to Texas. We didn't have a lot of money. We had $15,000, and we said, how can we create one larger campaign that will work and be activated on site at each at each event we're at. So we decided to do a healthy selfie. Selfies were pretty much the craze. And we did it online, but we also did it on site. So on site, we had the giant photo cutout boards. We had props that people can use. And we were giving away Fitbits. So our goal was to get 200 photo submissions. We had over 700. Advertising, we spent less than $1,000 because we didn't have any money. And the rest of the 15 that I mentioned was all towards the legal rules and development of the content. So a pretty cost-effective way to reach your audience. And I think this campaign netted around 7.1 million brand impressions for us. What else is interesting about it is that we used it to build our channels. So we had, it gained us 800 new Twitter followers, 900 new Facebook fans, 350 LinkedIn. We didn't do a lot on LinkedIn, but we got some fans because of the contest. So very good way to engage people, but also have them come back and like our brand. Three, and this is probably the easiest one, join the conversation. So pre-event, we use monitoring tools. If you use Hootsuite or you use even on native, you can watch the hashtag and see what's being shared, see what's being talked about. And we engage. So these are examples from a recent March of Dimes event that we've done, tweeting it out, and then we join the conversation. It's not creepy anymore for a brand to get back to you or wish you good luck for a race. A couple years ago, I would have been on the fence about it, but people actually really like it. And they're like, I can't believe Cigna said this. And most of the times, they don't know what we are, and they'll click through to our website from our channels, which is great. Number four, use video content. Last year at Cigna, our social media mission was, we called it the year of video. Our goal was to build our video library. And what came out of that was, we said, what do people want to know before a race? And we sat down and we brainstormed as a little social media team, the four of us, and we were like, we are not really experts. None of us are runners. We don't know what the community wants. So we went to our health coaches, and our health coaches gave us all a ton of ideas, and we actually scripted out a series. We went to Pittsburgh for a day. We filmed the health coaches, very shoestring budget. We created, we have a series of 15 training tip videos now. So those were created last summer. We use them, and we still use them for any type of events we're doing today. And they're going to start being used leading up to the half marathon in September. Other things that we do, kind of an oldie but a goodie, is on-site. When we were on-site at Disney last year, we did man-on-the-street interviews. Who inspires you to run? Why are you running? Very connection to health and wellness. Do you train with a partner? Because our mission and our brand promise is about partnership. And we have tips. So it was like, this one's an example of the first timer tips for people who are running Disney. And we use them every year to get people excited about running and participating in the event. So it's a nice way. It's also a nice way to showcase people. When you go up and ask them if you want to be on a video, fans get really excited about it. So we have a lot of great content. Fifth is find your influencers. There's a lot of conversation about the influencers here at the conference this couple of days. So we use social listening to find them. We use Synthesio, that's our main tool. And we're able to find the top 25 people who are talking about these topics and these hashtags. So what we did was we put all the hashtags into the tool. They gave us a list of the top 25. So go ahead. Synthesio? Yeah, they're actually very reasonable. We have a corporate license with them. They're very good to work with, based out of New York. And so we put this in the tool, so we get the list. I think we had 25 to 50. And how we used this was we created a list in our Twitter feeds. So it's an unpublished list, but we followed them and moderated these folks who were talking about Disney. Most of them are bloggers. So we'd reshare their content. And then when we got on site, we actually invited them to our blogger meetup, which I'll talk about in a minute, and they became actual brand ambassadors. What's really unique about this, and something we didn't even expect, is after the event, we noticed that these same influencers kept sharing other content. And we were like, wow, they're sharing our brand content. And they're sharing the avocado post that we posted, unrelated to Disney. So it's really nice to build this brand awareness through an event, but keep these as sort of our ambassadors year round. So tactics for a real-time event experience. I like this image because this is sort of what our team looks like when we go to an event. We have tons of equipment, everything you can imagine, battery packs, stuff that'll get us through the week. Here's a glimpse of stats of how social media is used during an event. I don't think it comes as a surprise that most people are trying to promote their booth or where they're at, or just different features to get people to interact with their brands, photo sharing. I would say these are no surprises here. So the first is to host a meetup. This idea sort of came out of the TweetUp concept, but we wanted to engage with bloggers. If you can imagine as a brand going into Disney, traditional media is not going to come and cover a health insurance company, right? We just don't have the story. It's just not sexy enough. They're going to cover the athletes who are running. They're going to cover the charity partners that are there. So we created a blogger meetup. We took that influencer list that I just showed you. We invited. We made it exclusive. So we decided early on that we didn't want to open it up to everyone. We wanted to have it be an exclusive event. That's something you're not going to get if you were a regular Disney park guest. So the first year we opened up. In California, we had the blogger meetup was hosted at one of the restaurants, so private tour of the back kitchen staff, and Disney chefs were actually teaching our bloggers how to create nutritional meals. So we got the Cigna branding messaging in there with the nutrition piece of it. This year in January, we did a game show, a health and wellness kind of game show where everyone's up doing activities, learning about their numbers and different elements of health. So what resulted of this? In January, we had 600 tweets in 3 hours from 40 people who are influencers. 100 Instagram posts of people just sharing their experience with us and at this event, video. One of the things that's really hard for us as a brand is if I take a picture of someone, I have to go up and say, "Will you sign my consent form?" And that takes, you can imagine, that takes a long time. So having influencers share content allows me as a brand to reshare and use their content without having to get that consent form. What else happened? We had a reach on Twitter of over 3.5 million in 3 hours, and 10% of the conversation from these influencers actually made up 10% of the total Disney conversation. So we knew we were hitting the right audience when we selected them to join. And now you'll see where we're going to have the event in September. People are so excited that they ask us, they tweet to us and say, "Hey, how can I get an invite to your event?" So that exclusive factor is working really well for us. But we do have we are gating kind of a high demand for the event, which is amazing. And it's a joint partnership with social media and our communications team. Communications team saw 20 blog posts out of just this event. So they're also sharing information about running and tips that they can use and giving them access. We have a couple celebrities that come, access to interview celebrities where normally you wouldn't if you're a blogger. And those would be people who are traditionally saved for, you know, the TV stations and the print. Second, feature your brand. A couple of tips I have for featuring your brands. First, this one on the left, if you're doing a conference or you're tweeting on behalf of an executive who's at a conference, we use quote cards a lot, and these have been really great engagement rates. These are set up before the event even happens. We get the speaker's talking points, basic, you know, kind of Photoshop design, and we're able to schedule them in real time. We don't go to every event. People ask that, are you always on the road? Last year, yes, we were, but we've really figured out a system where we have people on site who are sending us photos and information in real time, and we're doing it from our computers in the office. So quote cards, really great. The top left, we were at a healthcare IT summit, and we had a booth there, you know, your average booth, kind of boring. So we said, let's jazz it up a little bit. We were promoting our Coach by Cigna app. And pre-event, we did a lot of promotion. And we used just some fun graphics and sports kind of things to get people to come to our booth. So the team saw an increase in traffic to our booth, which we related back to social media, which was nice. I would say if you're covering an event for your company, be a live reporter. So we think of ourselves as news reporters on the social media team, whether we're doing video, photo, writing short articles or blogs, posts. We're really acting as journalists sharing the story. So we'll go out and we'll talk to people, whether they're Cigna customers or clients, or whether they're just fans and are at the event, and we find these stories. And it is a full-time job when you're on events. So I hear, you know, we made the mistake early on where we are, you know, our coworkers are like, oh, can you man the booth for me? And we're like, sure, we'll man the booth. But really that detracted from why you're there on the social media team to spread the word and capture those moments. And then third, activate your employees. So we heard a lot from Ellie and the McDonald's yesterday, activate your employees. Team Cigna has 400 people running as part of our group. So we open it up to employees, brokers, clients, friends and family. So you can run on our team, you get a singlet, it's really fun. And this year we expanded it because we said, well, we always focus on those 400 people and we get them to activate our brand, but what about the rest of the 13,000 employees that we have at our company? So this year we recreated, and again, you know, no formal distribution system. You know, this is all done, you know, $0 budget. We created cheer cards. So we said, we called it the virtual cheer squad. And we said, everyone who's not at the race and you're sitting at home or you're at the office, here's some cheer cards that you can share to cheer on your employee or your coworkers or people who you know are running in the race. And these worked really well. The only thing we spent money on is we added a $50 gift card. We pulled six names out of a hat for people who shared. We had over 200 people share these during race weekend, which was really nice. And it's really nice for the colleagues who are running at Disney to see them come out. Another thing I should mention on hashtags is we call ourselves hashtag Team Cigna. And this, we just sort of started this knowing it would, we were hoping it would get big. So what's nice about it is any event, any volunteer project, any charity thing that we do where employees are out and active in our community, we say, you are a brand ambassador and hashtag Team Cigna. What that allows us to do is I can track it on our monitoring system and we can share it. So we have instantly, we're able to share more events and more activities that our employees are doing with Cigna. And it also it does a nice catalog of if you search Team Cigna on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter right now, you would see events that we're doing. And not just in the US, it's caught on for our international markets too. So it's a really nice way to keep track and kind of look back at all the events that our Cigna employees have done. So lastly, there's a lot of brands that inspire me. I always get asked this, how do you come up with the ideas? You know, what are you looking at? And here are a couple of brands that I like for related to events and user-generated content. I'm not gonna go into deep case studies, but you can just Google search them if they're of interest. So 2014 Winter Olympics, Omega did a really cool thing where they actually integrated their product into their sponsorship. So they had they created all the countdown clocks that you saw and all the timekeeping pieces for the Olympics. So great way to integrate your brand, but also teach people how they built them. Or how they, you know, how the watches were, and I think they had like an exclusive watch giveaway as well. But very cool way to integrate your product into the event that's happening. Jim Beam, they have a virtual reality set up at some of their tasting events, and what they did, which was I thought was really unique, is they, once you put the headset on, you are actually on a virtual roller coaster, and you're able to see, you felt like you were moving, but you're able to see how the bourbon is made, and just learn really interesting facts about it. Guest pinning, this comes up a lot. We have not tried this at Cigna yet, just due to a lot of legal restrictions and worries. But you know, having someone take over your channel can be a really powerful thing. I would love to have one of our Achilles athletes or one of our bloggers take over our channels at Disney. Unfortunately, it's a little bit tougher than it sounds for us, but it's a great way to have a different voice, but also get your brand message across in a not so corporate or brand style. We saw this one, someone else had this in their presentation yesterday, but the Without Shoes Day, you know, really took off, and just, again, the user-generated excitement about it, something easy you can do. So our contest for Disney, it was share a picture of your training partner, you know, a selfie that you can do on your run. You know, bare feet, very easy, very tangible for a lot of folks to do in a very quick manner. It was also nice because it's tied to charity. This is a great example from Dell. They did a Save the Ocean event, but what they did before the event was that they were using it as an education piece on why their brand was connected to saving, looking at the oceans and the problems and the challenges that were faced. So very nice way just to do a little education piece, but also get your brand in there. And then this is probably one of my favorites, which I'm looking to take some ideas from for California for our Disney sponsorship, is John Hopkins did a Run Bold campaign where they actually took social media user-generated content and put it on banners during the Boston Marathon. So if you won the contest, you were actually used as outdoor advertising during the race. So as you ran by, you were able to see your billboard or banner, which is definitely a very cool way to integrate the online and the offline experience. So that's something that we're looking at, not specifically this example, but how do we integrate more at events the offline and online experiences for our guests and viewers. And lastly, a brand I love, Marriott. They always do really unique and interesting things. But if you remember this one, when the red slipper crisis happened, they took it and a great example of real-time marketing, where they offered 1 million rewards points for whoever could offer information to find the red slipper. So just a little unique way of doing things and examples that I always like to go from. And the last, I don't have any more slides, but I would encourage everyone to just think about how you can use simple ideas. So I looked to the big brands for a health insurance company. Use ideas, and you don't have to have a ton of money to do social media. You just have to have that creativity and that thought and plan to actually execute it. And the integrated marketing plan, we're doing a lot with that. And I'm working a lot in the social selling space now. And when you integrate social media, you can actually drive a real business goal and real business purposes. So anybody have any questions?
Comment real quick. You created an aha moment for me with the mention of, if you don't think the newspaper or radio is going to pick up something because it's not got enough appeal for them, go instead for the influencers or have an audience, right? A question is, I saw on Twitter you had an embedded YouTube video. Maybe now, after this conference, it sounds like not using YouTube, especially on Facebook, because of a battle or something. What about on, what's your thoughts?
That was taken from an old deck we had, but now we do embed. It's hard because our videos have to have a lot of legal lines, so they're not under the second requirement for the in-stream Twitter. So we do still link to YouTube often from Twitter because of that requirement. We are trying to work with legal to do shortened and live videos without that criteria, but it's a little difficult for us. Facebook, we embed everything. LinkedIn just came out with that new feature where you can see the full-size video as well, which is still linked to YouTube. But Facebook, when you embed the video, our videos, I think we did it. We did one right after the first race at Disney of just man on the street interviews. We put it out, and it had 500,000 views in the first 24 hours. So embedding it into the actual Facebook page is it's a very big deal, and it drives so many more views than we would if we linked it off to YouTube. Yeah, that's a great question. We have a very, I would say, our social channels. I was at the company when we started it. I was in the PR department, and our reason for starting social media, back when it was, brands were still iffy about it, was for customer service. So we saw a need that people were starting to use negative words and bash us on social media, and we said we have to do something about it. So over time, we've went from two full-time employees who monitor Cigna's social media channels to a group of 35 people who are responsible only for online customer issues and complaints. And their strategy is, it's 24/7, which we started from the beginning. They monitor it. Our response benchmark is 30 minutes. 90% of what we do is what's responded to within 20 minutes. So if you had an issue, our team is out there responding immediately. That's an important part. We put our customers first, and that's a very, very big thing on social media for us. When we have conversations that we don't necessarily like, a great example is we, during the floods that were happening a couple months ago in Texas, our foundation said, we want to give a grant to help the American Red Cross. So we put out on our social media channels, we're giving a $10,000 grant to help those who are affected by flooding in the South. What happened was we got people who were saying, how can you do that? You didn't even pay my claim this month, or very negative customer issues. And what happened was the community self-corrected it. So this is the power of your fans and your employees and ambassadors. We had people go on our page, and it was not set up or prompted anything. We were shocked by it, quite frankly, and said, hey, Cigna is doing a really great thing here. They saw a need, they're reaching out, and they're helping people who need help. That's what they're all about. And then we had a couple of employees jump on as well. So those conversations we're finding are now being self-corrected by the community, which is amazing. I couldn't even ask for something better to happen like that. But any question, whether it's a customer question or something that comes through in our channels, we always try and find the answer. The other day we got a question from someone saying that our flag that was flying outside of our office in Arizona was old and it looked like it needed updating. So I found the facilities person in Arizona who's in charge of the flag, and we found out that indeed the flag is fine, but they're ordering a backup flag just in case they see it start to deteriorate. So we do, working in social media, I mean, there's four of us, and we work with the people we meet around the company are just amazing, because we have to find a question, we have to find answers to these questions, and we get them every day. While we have the customer service team that's just focused on customer issues and complaints, our team's responsible for sort of everything else that comes in. Great, okay. Thank you so much.